Welcome to Session 77 of the Bible in Year Commentary. If you started this series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 18th of March. Today we'll be looking at Ruth 1-4 and Psalm 77. But first let's look at an overview of Ruth. Through Deuteronomy, Joshua and Judges, we've explored this idea of Deuteronomistic history. This is the idea that Deuteronomy all the way through to 2 Kings is one cohesive telling of Israel's history in light of Deuteronomy 28. This idea that obedience and faithfulness lead to blessings, but disobedience leads to curses and suffering. In the midst of this, Ruth feels like it doesn't really fit. Rather than look at a part of the nation's history, it focuses on the story of one particular woman and her redemption. However, we read as Judges ended, looking forward to a king that would lead the people out of their wickedness. Ruth starts, set in the same time as Judges, and then ends with the genealogy of one of Israel's greatest kings, David. It's a summary of the structure, but I would recommend checking out the written version of this commentary in the description to see the structure properly for yourself, particularly as today there are two. We start in Ruth 1. We have Naomi and Ruth in Moab, and they come back to Israel. Then we have Ruth 2. Ruth meets Boaz. Ruth 3. Ruth pursues Boaz. And then Ruth 4. Boaz redeems Ruth. Zooming in on the story of one family, the book of Ruth reiterates this theme that loyalty leads to blessing. It also shows the story of people that are seemingly far from God and covenant relationship redeemed and brought back into covenant relationship. As we journey through the Deuteronomistic history, Ruth gives us a little side narrative that reiterates these key themes and gives us hope for a king that will come and redeem his people, as Boaz does, and so people who are loyal and faithful, as Ruth is. So let's have a look at Ruth 1-4. The story opens with in the days when the judges ruled, so we know that this is still a dark time in Israel. A man named Elimelech, his wife Naomi and their two sons left Israel and started a new life in Moab. This should already start raising alarm bells. The Moabites have been one of Israel's enemies for a long time. They were born from the incestuous relationship Lot had with one of his daughters back in Genesis 19. Up until now, whenever Israel had mixed with one of their neighbouring nations, it had gone bad. Elimelech dies and Naomi's two sons decide to marry Moabite women. This is even worse. We read in Numbers 25 how some Israelites chased after Moabite women and it ended badly for them. Then the two sons die, leaving Naomi with her two Moabite daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. Everything about the story is setting us up to think this is going to be bad. Then Naomi decides to go back home to the land of Judah and she encourages her daughter-in-law to stay. After a little persuasion, Orpah agrees, but Ruth refuses, saying she wants to stay with Naomi, become part of her people and worship her God. In a time where we've seen the Israelites be so faithless to one another and to God, here is a Moabite woman that is loyal to her mother-in-law and wanting to be loyal to God. As we've seen before with Hagar, Jethro and Rahab, Ruth is a foreigner that is willing to be loyal and faithful to God. It stands in stark contrast to the state of the Israelites we read about in Judges. So Ruth goes back home with Naomi and they start life afresh in Bethlehem. At the start of this book, we see lives marked by tragedy and death and the loyalty of Ruth to her mother-in-law. Wanting to provide for her mother-in-law, Ruth goes out to collect wheat and barley from the fields. By chance, she ends up in the field of one of Naomi's relatives, Boaz. Boaz notices her and her faithfulness to Naomi, and so he generously blesses her, providing her with food from his table, encouraging her to only collect from his fields, and telling his servants to let her take as much as she wants. Just as Moses encouraged the Israelites to be faithful, and they will receive blessings, Boaz is commending Ruth here and explaining she is being blessed because of her faithfulness. When Ruth gets home and tells Naomi, she's overjoyed because she realised that Boaz is their kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer was a close family member who, in situations like these, would marry the widow, taking the land that belonged to her and care for the family. This was a system that supported and protected widows. Ruth 2 starts with Ruth and Naomi making the plan, followed by Ruth having a key encounter with Boaz and then Ruth returning to Naomi as they celebrate and decide to wait and see what happens. Ruth 3 follows the same structure. Naomi encourages Ruth to prepare herself and then go to Boaz and explain that he is her kinsman redeemer. She then does this and Boaz is once again amazed at Ruth's loyalty. Ruth was clearly young and beautiful enough that she could have had any man of her choice. Instead, she is faithful to Naomi and sticks by her, choosing a man like him so that Naomi would also be cared for. Boaz agrees to marry, but points out that there is someone who is a closer relative and that he needs to double check with them first. Ruth returns to Naomi, they celebrate and then they wait to see what will happen the next day. The next day, Boaz gathers the elders and the other kinsman redeemer together and explains the situation. The other kinsman redeemer has no interest in taking Ruth as his wife, so he turns down the opportunity and Boaz redeems her instead. Boaz and Ruth marry, Together, we see the marriage of two very faithful, very generous people who go on to have a child of their own. The story that started off with death and tragedy has ended in a place of joy and celebration with new birth. All this was because Ruth was first faithful to Naomi, and then because Boaz was faithful to Ruth. More than that, at the very end of the book, we see that their child, Obed, will grow up to be the grandfather of King David. David was one of the first kings of Israel. So during the time of Judges, where everyone does what is right in their own eyes because they don't have a king, we see the first proper glimpses of hope. We see the beginning of the line of the King of David, and it starts with two faithful people. But that's the book of Ruth. Let's have a look at Psalm 77. This psalm is attributed to two people, Jeduthun and Asaph, both musicians of King David. It falls into the category of lament psalm, but unlike most lament psalms, this psalm lacks a clear request. Instead, the psalmist is happy to trust that God will make things right. Here's a summary of the structure. We have verses 1 to 4, the complaint. Verses 5 to 9, the psalmist questions their complaint. And then verses 10 to 20, a declaration of trust. The psalmist starts by showing how they cry out to God, and he will hear them. But despite this, the psalmist feels weary crying out to God. Presumably, it's currently, it just doesn't actually feel like God does hear. As much as they cry out, remember God, and meditate, they're left feeling tired and uncomforted. It almost feels like God is holding their eyelids open so they cannot rest. But then the psalmist begins to question the validity of their complaint. They think back to what life was like and start to search through their thoughts. Is it really true that God will never smile upon them again? That God has stopped loving them or keeping his promises? Has God really forgotten grace and compassion and been overcome with anger? Having raised the question, the psalmist begins to answer them. They remember the great things God has previously done. They cling to them. He is a holy God who works wonders, who makes himself known to his people and redeems them. That's his character. That's who he is. He is a powerful God with the power of ocean and rain and thunder and lightning. He is the God that created a path through the seas and led his people through them. And then the psalmist just ends there. The unspoken answer to his question is this. God has been good and faithful in the past. It's who he is. Therefore, he will be good and faithful to us now and in the future. The psalmist no longer needs to make a request because they've been able to encourage themselves with these truths.